Now let's turn in our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 3. In preaching through this chapter, which is eventually, Lord willing, if he allows me to continue preaching and allows you to continue hearing, I want to go through this whole chapter, but a big, big part of this chapter is the issue of the new birth, where the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to a religious Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, who had respect unto Jesus of Nazareth, but not enough, who looked upon Jesus as a good teacher, as a man sent from God, but not as God manifest in the flesh, not as the Savior of sinners, the Messiah, the consolation of Israel. And so the Lord told him in verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, born from above, he cannot see." He cannot see and know and understand and value and believe the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Well, that's Christ, the King, the ruler, the Redeemer, the keeper of his church. Sinners saved by grace. That's his kingdom. Now, Christ rules over the whole universe. We know that. He sovereignly rules over all things. But the kingdom that he's speaking of here is the kingdom of salvation, the kingdom of redemption, the kingdom of grace. His church. If you're a believer, if you've been born again by the Spirit, you're a citizen of his kingdom. And he rules and reigns over you. In that sense, Paul wrote that in Philippians chapter 3, that we're not citizens of this world. We live in this world, and we're responsible to do certain things. We're talking about voting Tuesday and all of that. We're citizens. We're in this world, and we have to live in this world as God. But we're actually citizens of the kingdom of God. Citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And how do we know that? Because we've been born again by the Spirit. And you can't see that except you be born again. You don't have spiritual eyes. The new birth, in the first 6 verses of this chapter, basically he tells him the new birth is necessary because man by nature, man as he or she is naturally born, fallen in Adam, dead spiritually. He's spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. Sometimes we talk about the 3 R's of salvation. R number 1, ruined by the fall. Adam brought the whole human race into a state of sin and death, deserving of condemnation. But we know that before the foundation of the world, God chose a people and gave them to Christ, and that brings you to the second R. Redeemed by the blood of Christ is the payment for my sins. The blood of Christ is the righteousness that God has imputed to me. The blood of Christ. And then that brings us to the third R. Regeneration by the Spirit. That's the giving of life from Christ based upon his righteousness imputed. Spiritual death is the absence of spiritual life. That's why we must be born again. And it means that we're blind to the realities that glorify the Lord God, especially in salvation. Cannot see the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, as I said, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, reigning over his people, his church, his kingdom, for their complete salvation unto eternal life and glory. And he will not lose one citizen of that kingdom. He will not lose one for whom he died and was buried and arose again the third day. He is the King of righteousness and of peace. His scepter, which is his rule, is a scepter of righteousness. His kingdom is established upon righteousness. His subjects are all made righteous in and by him. And by nature, in spiritual death, people deny him as King Redeemer. and insist on salvation their own way rather than God's way. Over in that passage in 1 Corinthians 1, it says, the preaching of the cross, which is the preaching of the establishment of Christ's kingdom by his death on the cross, putting away our sins, establishing righteousness, that preaching of the cross is foolishness to them who are perishing. Unbelievers. So the new birth is necessary for us to have spiritual life, to see, to know, to believe, and to love Christ and his kingdom. But now, how does this new birth come about? Well, number one, I know it's not by the works or the wills of sinners. Turn back a page to John chapter 1. How does the new birth come about? Again, not by the works or the wills of sinners. It's a sovereign work of the power and the will of God. That's what it is. Look at verse 11 of John chapter 1. It says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now that's a commentary on all of us by nature. But verse 12 says, but as many as received him. In other words, there were some who received him, or who will receive him. To them gave he power, and the word power there is not ability. It's the right, the privilege, to become the sons of God, even to them which believe, that believe on his name. Right there we see one of the first evidences of the new birth. And it says, verse 13, which were born not of blood, not of natural birth, not of human pedigree, nor of the will of the flesh, which I believe is referring to the works of the flesh, nor of the will of man, not of our choice or our cooperation, but they're born of God. Enough said, but now there are all kinds of other scriptures that back that up. But many people today believe that the new birth begins with their decision, their will. They choose God. They rise above the foray of the mass of humanity, and they believe, and then they're born again. But the problem is, they're spiritually dead. That's what the Bible says. We must be born again. You see, it doesn't begin with our decision or our faith. How can one who is spiritually dead believe? How can he enter into spiritual things? He cannot. Just like Lazarus in the tomb. Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth by the power of God. We cannot choose to believe that which we cannot see. What did Christ say? You must be born again or you cannot see. We can't choose to believe what we cannot see. Somebody said, well, no, wait a minute. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by the word of God, not by what we see physically. But what do we see spiritually when we're given spiritual eyes? We see the word of God. True believers do walk by faith, not by sight. But that's speaking of physical sight rather than believing God's word. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for our faith in his excellent word. The Lord here in John 3 is speaking of spiritual sight that brings us to walk by God-given faith in Christ and not by physical sight. People are upset, worried, scared about the situation in our country today. Sometimes we fall into that state of mind too when we shouldn't. Who's in control? Who's in control of this whole mess? I tell you right now who's going to win the election. The one that God has foreordained to be right there. Ain't that right? May not be my choice. Maybe. Doesn't matter. God's in control. And we bow to his sovereign will. You see, no physical qualities, no natural abilities of works or will can bring us to be born again. We're not born again and we do not believe because we're better than other people or make a better decision than other people. No fallen son or daughter of Adam is capable naturally of willing to believe. So it's not by works or the wills of sinners. And secondly, new birth comes by the sovereign will and power of God. It's from Christ. It's based upon His work, His power, His righteousness imputed. And by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. It involves a spiritual resurrection from the dead. Regeneration. It involves the impartation of new spiritual life. A new heart. That's what I need. Preachers say, give your heart to Jesus. Well, I need Him to give me a new heart. And He said that, didn't He? He said, I'll give them a new heart. I'll give them a new spirit. New motives, new knowledge, new desires, new goals. You see, the new birth is not renovation. It's not reformation of the flesh. It's not an improvement of the flesh. It's not simply making us better people. The new birth is making us new people, a new man in Christ. Look at verse 7 of John 3. Now Christ had already said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7, He says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Don't be amazed at that. What does the Word of God tell us about ourselves naturally? We're dead spiritually. So we shouldn't be amazed that in order to believe, in order to see the kingdom of God, we must be born again. And then He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now I think there's one point here that every one of us would agree on. We cannot control the wind. Isn't that right? We were down in Destin, Florida last week, and there was one day where I felt like we were going to get blown off of the porch. I decided that the wind would stop. It didn't. I made a choice that the wind would calm down. Didn't do it. I can't control the wind. The wind cannot be controlled by man, neither can the Holy Spirit. He comes and He goes and He works according to the sovereign will and purpose of Almighty God. Now, preachers can manipulate people to engage in false professions by using emotional props, scare tactics, but no preacher, not even those who preach the truth, can manipulate sinners into the new birth and true professions of faith in Christ. Let me give you an example of something that was written by a false preacher who claims to be a Christian. I want you to hear this. He was instructing young preachers on how to conduct an invitation at the end of the service. And incidentally, those are not biblical. The invitation is the preaching of the gospel. That's a command from God. And here's what this preacher was telling these young preachers. He said, do not reveal the closing of the sermon. Like, for example, don't say, and in conclusion, or to wrap it up, or lastly. Don't reveal the closing of the sermon. When the sermon reaches a high point of climax, then would be a good time to close abruptly. Even if the sermon is not completed, sometimes God may lead one to close prematurely in order to start the invitation from a high spiritual note. And this also prevents the unsaved from digging in, so to speak, before the invitation is given, and enables the Holy Spirit to sneak up on them and take them by surprise. Unquote. Now that's ridiculous. What would Christ tell that man? What he told all of them. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. If you're born again, it's not because you brought it about or I brought it about. It's because God sovereignly brought it into play. Now the wind bloweth. The new birth. Can we explain everything about the new birth? No. But you know what? Just like the wind. And he said, and now notice what he said here. Thou hearest the sound thereof. In other words, you know it's blowing. You hear its sound. You feel its effects. The new birth can be known only by its evidences. That's how it can be known. We see the evidences of it. Regeneration. What is that? God giving life where before there was no life. Spiritual life. Not physical life. But spiritual life. The calling. The Bible says many are called but few are chosen. What is that talking about? Well, that's talking about there's a general call that sometimes falls on, that many times falls on deaf ears. But there's an invincible, powerful, irresistible call that when it comes to an individual cannot be resisted. The power of God. Conversion. That's a change, isn't it? That comes from regeneration and calling. Think about that. The evidences. Now I'm going to talk to you about the evidences of the new birth. And I'm going to do this in several messages because it's important that we know. For example, think about this. We know the Bible teaches that God has chosen a people before the foundation of the world and he gave them to Christ. Is that right? That's what the Bible teaches. I know a lot of people don't preach it. A lot of people preach against it. A lot of people don't like it. But that's what God's Word teaches and reveals. If you're a saved person, he chose you before the foundation of the world and gave you to Christ. And he didn't do it because he looked through a telescope of time and foresaw what you would do. God is not a crystal ball gazer. Why did he choose one and not his sovereign will? For so, Lord, it seemed good in thy sight. Now, here's what I want to know. Did God choose me? How about you? You want to know that? Did God choose you? Did Christ come to this world and keep the law for me and die for me? Well, if he did, you will be born again. Have I been born again? Turn over to that passage that Brother Jim read. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know this whole passage. It ends with in the ending of it, there's that verse 14 that I quote all the time. The natural man. Well, who is the natural man? That's all of us as we are by nature born physically dead in trespasses and sin. The natural man, the one who has not been born again, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He says, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. You must be born again or you cannot discern, see, understand the kingdom of God. Verse 15 says, but he that is spiritual, that's the born again person, judgeth all things. He discerns all things. He knows the difference. Yet he himself is judged of no man. The judgments of men mean nothing. That's how it ends. But there's a very important thing. Look at verse 10. He's talking about how the things of the Spirit of God, the things of the kingdom of God, the things concerning salvation have not even entered into the minds of the natural man. Even the most noble, even the noblest, even the highest, the princes of this world, they didn't know it. The philosophers, the religionists, the thinkers. You go read the philosophies of man. There's no understanding of the things of the kingdom of God in the minds of the noblest, the smartest, the most religious of natural man. Hadn't even entered their mind. But look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now who's the us there? That's believers. Sinners saved by the grace of God. And he says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. If you're going to know anything about God and his ways and his glory, it's going to have to be revealed by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. It's not going to come from natural philosophy, religion, any of that. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? All a man can know is what's in him naturally. Now he can know a lot of things. Maybe things we admire and things that are helpful. But he can't know anything about God, the true and living God, the Spirit, salvation. That which is flesh, born of the flesh is flesh. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You see that in verse 11? Unless the Spirit reveals him. Now, verse 12 is very important here. And it's got a very, very important word that we need to understand. Look at it. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Now, how do we know that? How do I know that the Spirit that is in me is the Spirit of God and not the Spirit of the world? Religion can't tell you anything about that. Look at it. That we might know the things that are what? Freely given to us of God. That word freely is so important. You know what that means? That means without a cause. Whatever's given to me by God through his Spirit is without a cause in me. Without a reason in me. It's totally unconditional towards me. Whatever's given me of God by the Spirit. What does the Bible teach us that is given freely by his Spirit? Well, the Bible talks about Christ himself is a free gift from God. Where is it? Over in Romans chapter 8, I believe. Let me just read this to you. Verse 32 of Romans 8. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all of his people, all of his chosen people, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He gave us the gift of his son. But with his son he freely gave us unconditionally, without a cause, all things. Now, what all things is he speaking of there? Is he talking about physical health? Some preachers say that's what he's talking about. Is he talking about physical wealth? Some say he, no, not speaking about that at all. It's not speaking about anything perishable. It's speaking of heavenly things, salvation, blessings. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Did we do anything to earn or deserve any of that? The answer is no. The Bible in Romans chapter 5 speaks of the free gift of righteousness. In Romans 3, it says we're justified freely by his grace, unconditionally. What does that mean? That means my sins are forgiven. Why? Why? Because I made the right choice? No. Because he sent his son to die for my sins. His blood washes away all my sins. I didn't deserve any of it. I don't deserve forgiveness for even one sin, let alone a multitude that I can't even number. That means I have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's law and justice that cannot be contaminated and cannot be taken away. It's the righteousness of God, the imputed righteousness of Christ. What did I do to deserve that? To earn that? Was it my decision that brought it up? No, sir. And out of that comes the free gift of life. Spiritual life. I didn't deserve that. I didn't earn that. I didn't make the right decision for God to give that to me. I made the right decision because God gave it to me. You must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, I want to give you five things that are freely given that evidence the new birth, and then I'm going to come back and preach on these. Give you some scripture. And what I hope is that this will show us the nature and the evidences of the new birth. Let me give you these five things. You can write them down or think about it. I'll be coming back to these. But number one, the gift of knowledge and faith. A revealed knowledge from God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ said in John 17:3, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Spiritual life, eternal life, is to know God as both a just God and a Savior. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh, and who came and established by his death our salvation, our righteousness, our forgiveness, our life. That's number one. Do you know God? The Bible says they have no knowledge that set up the graven images and worship a God who cannot save. And it's revealed knowledge. It's not knowledge we attain by our human intellect. It's knowledge that God gives his people in the gospel. The gospel wherein the righteousness of God is revealed. It involves a calling, an invincible calling unto faith in Christ. And that faith is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Here's the second free gift. Repentance of dead works and idolatry. The gift of repentance. You can't believe in Christ, turn to Christ, without turning away from self. This repentance is a change of mind concerning the issues of eternal life and glory, who God is, who we are, who Christ is. It's a convincing of the Holy Spirit who convinces us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. To where we, at one point in our life, throughout our lives in spiritual death, we thought highly of our works and our efforts and our decisions. But now in the light of the glory of God in Christ, we count them all but loss, that we may win Christ and be found in his righteousness, which is not of the law, but that which he worked out. That's a gift. That's repentance. That's a gift from God. That's a free gift. Freely given. Thirdly, the gift of godliness and godly motives. The motives of grace, gratitude, and love. Paul wrote about that in Romans chapter 7 when he spoke of fruit unto God as opposed to fruit unto death. What motive do we have to serve the Lord? Is it legal threats of punishment or loss of reward or mercenary earned rewards? What is it? Are you like that preacher who told another man one time, he said the only reason he preaches so he'll have a bigger mansion in heaven? Or is it out of grace, gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Love for God and love for His people. That's an evidence of the new birth. Now, we all have that warfare within us, don't we? Fighting within us. Sin and self. But God establishes the motives of grace, gratitude, and love. Where we approach God, not upon anything we've done or will do or try to do, but because of Christ, we cry, Abba, Father. Here's the fourth one. This is the free gift of love of the brethren in the faith. We know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. What does that mean? That means we have fellowship with God's people and not with the world. That means we identify with the people of God against the world. We stand together in the truth. We help one another in the truth. That's an evidence of the new birth. And then fifthly, the free gift of perseverance in the faith. If a sinner is born of God, he cannot leave Christ. Not because he of his own power or his own goodness, but because of the grace and the power and goodness of God. We can't leave Christ because God won't let us. We persevere in the faith because he preserves us. And we can do nothing else. Because he which begun the good work in us, he will bring it to its fruition. He'll work it unto the end. He will accomplish it. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now, what have I committed unto him? Because this is part of that. What have you committed to him? I'll tell you what I've committed unto Christ. My whole salvation is committed to Christ. I don't believe that I can be saved by grace and then kept and preserved by my works. You haven't committed it all to him, see, if that's what you believe. But I've committed, it's all him. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him. We run the race of grace, looking unto Jesus, the author and the what? The finisher of our faith. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and understand.